Hi there. Two things I need to say before we get started. I'm really nervous. I don't know how many times I've stood up and spoke to you guys before, but tonight, for some reason, I am just so nervous. And then the second thing, this topic is quite consuming. I don't know how much of it I'm going to be able to discuss in full. So I want to give an open invite to anybody. I could be shooting myself in the foot for this, but if you would like to carry the conversation on, maybe not tonight, but at some other point, I would love to discuss it with you further. So if there's anything that I don't touch on in enough depth with us tonight, please come and see me, because this has consumed me for 3 full days. So I took a day off work to sort of make up for a loss of a day off for my birthday, and ended up spending the whole day just looking at this. I loved it, but, you know, it wasn't the day off that I'd planned. So I am happy to really, you know, discuss this more. So anyway, the topic that I'm talking on tonight is Christianity as a straitjacket. This morning I was at Portobello and Joppa Church. I was speaking there for the first time, so I think part of my nerves are tonight are maybe a little bit of sort of offshoot of that, doing that for the first time there. But I was talking to their associate minister, Lawrence, who's from South Africa. He's just moved over here recently. And I was telling him about what was happening tonight, and he was like, "Oh, what's the topic?" And I said to him, "Oh, Christianity is a straitjacket." And he was just like, "Well, that's easy. The answer is no. Now just go home and discuss something else." And I was like, "Well, I kind of feel the same, but I feel, you know, that it's only fair that we look at this a bit further." So although I laughed, I really do feel, you know, that Christianity isn't a straitjacket. I'll be totally upfront with that. I, as a Christian, I don't think I fit a typical Christian mould. Don't all gasp at once. I don't think I fit a typical Christian mould. I was in the pub a few years ago with a friend of mine. Actually, there was quite a few of us, a lot of the punks from Edinburgh, and they've known me for maybe sort of 8 years or something since we moved through here. And we were just all sitting around and we were chatting, and somebody asked us what we were up to later on or the next again day or something. I was like, "Oh, you know, we're going to church and we'll be doing this, and I think that I'm either singing it." Yeah, I was saying, "Oh, I'm going to be singing in the band at church." And our mate Scoot just stood there and was like, "Hang on, you're a Christian?" And I was like, "Yeah." And was expecting maybe sort of like a lot of heat, because, you know, I'm not that, Christians aren't popular in the punk scene. But they were like, "Oh man, that's cool." And then, right, I'm getting a pint. I was like, "All right then." So it was that thing that, you know, you don't expect, you know, there are certain stereotypes that you think of when you think of Christians. And I think that's the thing that comes down to this thing with Christianity being a straitjacket. This sort of restricting, confining thing that people sort of assume or feel that is put in, on them, either by themselves because what they think of it, or by others because what they feel sort of fits this mould. So just before we get started, I know we're sort of looking for a bit of discussion in this. I just kind of, I don't know where yous all stand, and I don't know how yous feel about this topic, but just quickly in your groups, in your table, just if you feel comfortable enough, you know, and be honest, even if you are a Christian, discuss in your table if you think, or what you think maybe restricts you as a Christian, or maybe what society thinks is restrictive about being a Christian, just to kind of see where you're at or where the guys around you are at. So just a minute, you know, it doesn't have to be in depth. If you don't feel comfortable talking about that, then maybe just sit and listen or think about it yourself, but just where you think the restrictions are as a Christian, or what is perceived as the restrictions of Christianity. So go. I feel quite sort of comforted that I could hear from some of the conversations that I'm on point with what I'm going to say next. But if there's anything else, I'm not going to sort of ask what your group said. I'm just hoping that maybe some of the stuff that we talk on tonight or look at tonight will cover what you've discussed. If there's anything I miss, as I say, please come and chat to me. I'm really up for talking about this more with anybody that wants to. So as we were saying, just as clarity as well, what we mean by straitjacket is this sort of picture of something being restrictive, something that's stopping your movements, something that's confining, it's not giving you the freedom that you really want. I just always think of these sort of like horror movies where there's somebody just screaming because they just want to be moving and running. So I kind of have that picture of this straitjacket sort of thing where you just are just bound tight. So that's what we're thinking about tonight. So for me, as I say, for me, I don't find there's this restriction. I think I've been very fortunate, sort of growing up. I've had a lot of people nurturing me. I'm quite creative and arty, and you know, it sort of started with my pastor's wife when I was probably in my late teens. She really encouraged me to dye my hair for the first time, much to my dad's joy. But you know, I've always had a lot of really good nurturing that I feel really blessed about. So I don't feel that I've never had this thing where I've felt that Christianity restricts who I am as a person. That doesn't mean to say that I haven't wondered about some of the stuff that we're talking about. I'm hoping from the groups that you're chatting about that maybe some of the main kind of questions that you're sort of that you've been talking about, or the main issues that you've been talking about, are maybe something along the lines of that there's too many rules. It excludes people who don't believe the same thing. It's culturally narrow, and it restricts its members' freedom. So I don't know if that's, I know that I definitely heard somebody talking about there's too many rules. I think that that's probably the key one that a lot of people would focus on, there's too many rules, and probably the one about excluding people because they don't believe the same thing. I'll maybe come to them last because I feel that they're a bit bigger. So I want to talk about the culturally narrow thing first. Christianity is claimed to be quite culturally narrow. You know, it's European, it's got a certain way of doing things. But the thing that I've been quite inspired by, and even personally I see this, is that Christianity is the one religion in the world that has moved from the place of its origination. Any Eastern religions are still mainly in the East, although we kind of, in sort of the Western society, have adopted some practices, but even they are diluted. So things like yoga and stuff like that. But yoga, this is a really random fact I read recently, but yoga as we know it was actually created in the 60s. But things, so it's stuff that we've adopted, but the true essence of Eastern religion is still practiced in the East. The same with Islam, it's still focused in the East where, you know, where it was originated. The main practitioners are not sort of in the Western world. So there's not been much of a travel of culture to it. Whereas Christianity started with the Jewish people, it moved to Greece and then into Europe, and has been adopted quite widely in the Western society, although, you know, I think there's most people would say there's maybe been a bit of a decline in it. But it's boosting now really in Asia and South Africa. And they were saying, one of the facts in the book that we've been basing this series on is it's saying that in about 30 years' time, China is going to have 30% of its population being Christian. That's a massive, massive influx in somewhere where our societies, our cultures are completely different. So culturally, Christianity can adapt to take the best of what's in a culture and see how it can flourish, how it can make that culture rich. It doesn't confine, it doesn't constrict these cultures in any way. One of the examples in the book is about a South African historian who's saying that people in South Africa believe quite strongly in this sort of supernatural presence. And until they read Christianity in their own language, they didn't realise that the supernatural force that they were looking to was actually Christ and God. And a lot of South Africans now feel that this supernatural part of their culture, these drums that they've been beating for centuries, are actually a worship that they've been giving to unknowingly to God, and that through Christianity, they're finding the true essence of what being South African is. Not a European Christian, but a South African Christian. And it's not to dilute their culture. It's not to change it so that they are becoming Western or European, but it's enhancing who they are as South Africans. For me personally, the thing, all I can sort of reference in culture is the fact that I read an article in a magazine called Bizarre. It's definitely not sort of one you'll find, you know, on sort of main shelf sort of magazines. It does tend to look at the bizarre, but it was looking at a church down in London that was for goths, and it's a Christian church. And the reason that I found this fantastic, you know, it just rang a bell with me, funnily. But the thing was, is that the people that, you know, a lot of goths are seen as sort of quite morbid, dark, you know, they sort of love all the dingy sort of heavy metal music. But the thing that, the reason this church in London was flourishing for Christians was the fact that they love the ceremony. You know, the sacraments, so doing communion. They loved this. It really fit into who they were, the things that they identified with. It really spoke to them as a culture, as a group of people. And I just think that that's, I can see why, you know, a group of Goths would really sort of take to the whole sort of ceremony of maybe a traditional church service. You know, all the sort of Gothic ornate sort of architecture and the ceremony and just these fabulous sort of, you know, gold flashy things, or, you know, candles dripping from, you know, all that sort of stuff really just speaks to it. And I can see why that works. Me personally, I love sort of like the punk culture. There's so much of it. I love this idea of anarchy and, you know, rebelling against something. Although there's a lot of the punk stuff that I wouldn't do. You know, I don't just think for anarchy's sake. But I love this idea of sort of standing up against something that you believe so strongly in, that you want to stand up against something and fight for justice. That really speaks strongly to me. So, you know, culturally, I find, as somebody that would probably say that I was a punk, find that my faith as a Christian really fits really, really well into that. So saying Christianity is culturally narrow really doesn't work. It is quite flexible for that. There's nothing that says that it can't be. There's a whole, I encourage you to read Acts 15. It's really inspiring to hear how the apostles were talking about a church in, I can't remember where it was now. I think it was in Greece or something like that. There was a church sort of that wasn't Jewish. It wasn't sort of the original. It was one of the ones that they went out and settled. And what they said was that there was some people that were trying to say that they had to be circumcised. But when they came back to the original sort of apostles and elders in Jerusalem, they said, no, they're not Jewish. They don't have to be circumcised. All we recommend is for them to not eat strangled animals, not to eat blood, to stay away from sexual immorality. You know, sensible things. So they said that, you know, and then they left them to work out culturally how Christianity worked for their culture. They weren't enforcing this Jewishness that they found sort of something for them. So it's even in the Bible that they weren't enforcing the Jewish culture onto the new Christians, the Gentile Christians. So Christianity being culturally narrow, it's just not true, as far as I'm concerned. Christianity restricting its members' freedom. I don't think I've ever felt or been able to feel more liberated in my whole life than I have as being a Christian. Sometimes I do sit when I'm out with my non-Christian friends and just think to myself, man, it would just be so good to let go and just go daft. That's quite, you know, I'm being honest. There are times that, you know, you do just sit there and you see these people just go nuts. And you think, well, they're having so much fun. And then later on, you sit and you look and see the aftermath of everything that happens, whether it's taking too many drugs, or, you know, sleeping with somebody that they shouldn't have, or, you know, whatever. When you see that freedom that they have and the impact that it can have on their life afterwards, I just sit there and think to myself, I'm so glad that I have my faith, because I wouldn't want that at all for me. And so that kind of ties in to this, it excludes people that don't believe the same thing. So I'm going to start sort of kind of focusing on the two of these. When you're talking about restricting freedom and sort of excluding people that don't believe the same thing, you start to look at what it is to be a community. And because you're in a community, any community you look at has rules, has requirements of what a member should be. To sort of try and see that I wasn't just talking nonsense, I went on to Gumtree, to the community section. Wow. Apparently, if you're inclined, there's a naturist group in Haddington. So I'm assuming, you know, that requirements for membership is that, you know, you would want to be naked in Haddington with a group of other people. Very chilly, yes, definitely. So there's that. There's a group of people for socialising in pubs. There's a group for people socialising in cafes for people who don't like pubs. There's an air rifle practice group for people who want to shoot off an air rifle. There's all sorts of religious groups. And although they say in all of their adverts, everyone is welcome, you're not going to go along to the Haddington Naturist group if you just want to sit and have a cuppa. They're not going to let you just do that. They'll expect certain things of the people that go along. They'll expect you to, you know, want to be au natural. If you're going to join a social group in a pub, there'll probably be people drinking. So if you're teetotal or maybe an alcoholic, that group isn't for you. Even on the other hand, if you're meeting people in a cafe, if you're not a fan of coffee or tea, it's maybe not going to be the thing for you. The thing that really sort of struck me recently was that Ek went to a football match with his mate recently, and his mate, his best friend's a Celtic supporter. That sounds all right. Ek's a Rangers fan. So going to the game was fine, but really, if they wanted to go to the pub afterwards, people are going to start chatting. When they find out that he's a Rangers fan and a couple of pints later have sort of been taken, that could be a particularly kind of, you know, sensitive subject, to say the least, especially when you're in Glasgow. You know, it could have been dangerous. Ex-friend couldn't believe the fact, you know, he was going to this football match with him. Even Neil said, you know, keep it on the stoom, mate, and don't wear your football top, because, you know, it could be dangerous. So this whole idea of community and being restricted to those that don't believe is not unique to Christianity. There are going to be guidelines, there are going to be values, there are going to be rules that is required of its members. I got a bit agitated this afternoon by this idea of saying to you, you know, there are rules for Christianity. Because, you know, nobody wants to be saying that. If you're sort of like a liberal person, or, you know, quite sort of open-minded or whatever, or you don't want to sort of be that person that says, you know, yes, there's rules. I got a bit flummoxed with it, and I phoned John, and I was like, can I say that? And John was just like, yeah, you know, but it's values and things, and that's the thing. There are values. There are restrictions on doing certain things. And as I say, as somebody that hangs around in a cultural community that is very, very liberal, being the only Christian, or, you know, with Ek and I being the only Christians there, you do tend to stand out like a bit of a sore thumb. But to be perfectly honest, with the values and the beliefs and the rules that I feel that Christianity gives me, I feel it makes my life so comfortable and so dead set to know who I am. The situations that I could potentially get myself into, I may look at things and think, ooh, that looks quite fun. And no, I don't think that's going to be fun at all. And I walk away and I sort of just sit quite happily and say, no, it's cool. I'm fine with where I am. In hindsight, this only happened, by the way, to me a couple of months ago. So it's not even like I'm talking, you know, years ago when I was at college or something. This was just a couple of months ago. I'm sitting in a friend's house and I'm just looking and I'm like, no, that's not for me. It's not who I am. I would be so disappointed in myself. And it's not to say that God would have thought any less of me, but I would have felt really bad. And God would forgive me. I know he would. But having these guidelines, these values, and this set of beliefs makes me feel so free. And I'm so happy because I don't want to. I was talking about stuff at KLM the other week about entering the kingdom and how the path into entering the kingdom is so narrow. And I gave this sort of thing that I always think of. My sister's a climbing instructor. And whenever I think of this path into the kingdom, which is so narrow, I think of this mountaintop where the path is only as wide as maybe you are. And my sister, being a climbing instructor, just does this stuff and doesn't sort of think twice about it. But then she knows that if she's going to go climbing or do an abseil, that there's certain equipment that's required. There are certain things that you do and do not do. And these things keep you safe. They save your life. And that's how I feel. That's what I imagine when I think about these restrictions. They're not going to be for everybody. Some people feel that being free is to make up their own mind about stuff. Is having the right to choose what they feel is right and wrong. In the book, Tim Keller says that whenever anybody poses this question to him, he asks them to close their eyes and think, is there somebody in this world right now doing something that you think that they shouldn't be doing? That is maybe morally wrong. I'm sure we can all think of something or someone. The refugee crisis that's happening at the moment is a really hot topic. Somewhere in this world at the moment, we can say that there's something that's morally unjust. So being left to make up your own moral thoughts or decisions is all fine and well in theory. But there are things that are pretty much set in stone that we know to be true. So by saying that we're excluding people because of the stuff that we believe, I don't think that that's a bad thing. Nobody in any community is completely included. So it's not a bad thing to say things like, it excludes people who don't believe the same thing. Fair enough. It's not a bad thing to say that it restricts its members' freedom. Well, what is freedom? I want to read you something from Why Jesus by Nikki Gumbel. It's from the Alpha Course. I'm going to confess, I've had this for quite a while. I never read it before. And just happened to lift it last night. And I feel that it's something that's really quite important to hear. Christianity is first and foremost about relationships rather than rules. It's about a person more than a philosophy, It's about the most important relationship of all, our relationship with God who made us. Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment is to love God. The second is to love our neighbour. So it's all about our relationships with other people. If you ask somebody if they're free, you could get a variety of answers. Love is the most constricting thing that you can ever experience. Because when you love somebody, whether it's a friend, a partner, a family member, you're willing to give up so much for that person that loves you. You can't be in a relationship with somebody without giving up some of your own personal identity. You can't say in a marriage or in a friendship that I'm going to make all the decisions and you have no say. To restrict a relationship in that way really puts a limit on what that relationship can do. We'll put a limit on how deep that relationship can go. And I can only think of basically my marriage as an example of that. You know, if I wasn't willing to have a say in things that I do, you know, to sort of discuss it with him, to just say, "All right, honey, I'm off to the pub. See ya." And he's like, "Well, actually, you know, maybe not this month because money's a bit tight, or, you know, how's about just hanging out with me tonight, or whatever." You know, to just go off and do my own thing. Well, why get married? To have a best friend and to not listen to the stuff that they want to say to you, then why have a best friend? You know, if they're not going to be allowed to give you input, what's the point? So the whole point of Christianity is to think about this relationship of Jesus dying on the cross and giving up everything so that we could be free. When he's made that much of a sacrifice, what would you give up for somebody that gave up his life for you? The whole thing then comes down to truths. If you don't think it's true, then what are we worried about? But if you think that that is true, that makes you think then about all the other stuff. C.S. Lewis was talking about truths. And he says, by having truths, you have clarity to see things as they really are. Truths give you rules and boundaries. If you believe it's true, there are certain things that you will believe, certain values that you will hold. Personally, I find that quite liberating. And if you don't think it's true, then there's nothing to worry about. It comes down to how you view truths. And as Christians, we believe that this is true. I'm just going to leave it there.